Great. I call the Agriculture, Finance, and Policy meeting to order on February 2nd, 2023. There is a quorum present. Representative Nelson, may I have a motion to approve the minutes from January 26, 2023?
So moved.
All right, Representative Nelson moves the approval of the minutes for January 26, 2023. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. The motion prevails. Representative Hansen, we will start ahead with your bill on House File 47, Pollinator Research Funding. Members, we've heard this bill last week during committee, so we'll just adopt the amendment and have this limited discussion on the bill. And so, Representative Hansen, would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House File 47 be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Is that the correct motion?
Yes, that's correct. Representative Hansen moves House File 47 to be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Representative Hansen, you have the A1 amendment. Would you like to explain your A1 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The A1 amendment, if you remember when we last met, did not have an appropriation in the bill. And so it was a dot, dot, dot bill. We are appropriating $2.4 million this year in one-time money and then adopting the ongoing base funding of $100,000 from the general fund into the pollinator research account. So this provides funds into the account, and I would move the A1 amendment and ask for your support.
All right. Any discussion to the A1 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The A1 amendment is adopted to the House File 47. I see that we have the A2 amendment to... Yes. Who's offering the A2 amendment? Representative Anderson? Okay. We'll give you a moment to settle down. Representative Anderson, to the A2 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Apologize for being late. I got hung up and not in the best shape anymore, I guess. But anyway. This amendment, very simple, just reverts back to the original intent of the legislation to focus mainly on habitat, is what this amendment does.
All right. Representative Hansen?
I would oppose the amendment. It essentially destroys the bill, so I would ask for a no vote.
All right. Any discussion? All right. I see that the main author of this committee hearing is here, so we will move to the House File 100 right away so that we can give Representative Stevenson enough committee time to hear his bill. And so we will wait on this vote on the A2 amendment. And Representative Stevenson, would you proceed to the testifying table and... We will hear the House File 100 whenever you're ready, Representative Stevenson. Oh, before that, we have nonpartisan staff Ben Johnson, who is here today to help us ground ourselves on the framework, on the relevant sections related to the agriculture jurisdiction. And so, Mr. Johnson, could you please... members, you should have received a list of all the relevant sections Ben Johnson will just give a brief overview of the more substantive sections for the committee and for the public's benefit. Please proceed.
Madam Chair, Ben Johnson with House Research. Madam Chair and members, the sections that I understand have been identified as relevant to the Agriculture Committee's jurisdiction begin with Article 1, In Section 1, there are a series of definitions. The most relevant definitions are those that are related to hemp and hemp products. That includes Subdivision 6, which is the artificially derived cannabinoid. Subdivision 21, which involves cannabis seed. Subdivisions 32 and 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, and 40. Those subdivisions all relate to hemp and hemp-related products. Section 2 of the bill relates to the Office of Cannabis Management. In particular, Subdivision 4 would likely fall under this committee's jurisdiction. That section requires the office to coordinate with the Department of Agriculture to ensure that edible products that are subject to regulation by this office would meet the applicable food safety requirements. Section 3 is the Cannabis Advisory Council, and the Commissioner of Agriculture has a seat on that council. Section 7 deals with agricultural practices and food safety practices. It directs the office to work with the Department of Agriculture to establish a food handler permit that is comparable to the food handler permit that the Department of Agriculture currently oversees. It also requires the office to work with the Department of Agriculture to establish standards for propagating and raising cannabis and cannabis plants. Section 17 in Article 1 deals with the inspection and license violations. In particular, Subdivision 2 requires the new office to enter into agreements. Excuse me, it doesn't require. It permits the new office to enter into agreements with the Department of Agriculture to use the Department of Agriculture's lab for confirmatory testing. There are a series of sections that relate to licensing. Those sections are Sections 21 and 22, Sections 33 and 34, and Section 43. In each of those sections, there are provisions related to cultivation. The cultivation requirements include the requirement that the cultivators comply with the standards that are adopted by the office pursuant to their conversations with the Department of Agriculture. Section 59 in Article 1 deals with industrial hemp. This is a clarification that hemp growth and processing remains subject to the Department of Agriculture under their existing hemp program, which is governed by Chapter 18K. It also clarifies that the process of creating artificial cannabinoids is not considered part of processing under that license. Section 60 deals with hemp-derived topical products. Those are products that are often called creams that have cannabinoids such as cannabidiol, CBD in them. It establishes some standards for those requirements, for those products, excuse me. Section 64 is a cannabis grower grant. This must be established in consultation, again, with the Department of Agriculture, but is overseen by the office. Madam Chair, in Article 2, there is a taxation provision that is not in this committee's jurisdiction because it is a taxation provision, but is likely of interest to this committee. And that simply is a provision that establishes, it's Section 1 of Article 2, establishes that cannabis businesses are subject to industrial classification. And finally, Madam Chair, in Article 9, there is an appropriation to the Department of Agriculture. Madam Chair, I believe that completes the walkthrough of the provisions that the Chair has determined are relevant to this committee.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I appreciate that. And to the author of the bill, Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I will be brief because my voice is just hanging on today, just hanging on. House File 100 is the bill to legalize adult use cannabis in the state of Minnesota. Minnesotans are ready for this. Our current laws regarding cannabis are doing more harm than good. Minnesotans deserve the freedom and respect to make their own decisions about cannabis use. The bill takes a very comprehensive approach to cannabis legalization and regulation in Minnesota with the aim of supplanting a currently unregulated illicit marketplace with a safe, legal marketplace. It also takes, as I mentioned, a comprehensive approach, folding in the low-dose hemp-derived THC products that the legislature legalized last year. Madam Chair, I know there are a number of testifiers, so I would defer to them at this point and happy to answer questions. Or I can answer questions now, whatever you want.
All right. Thank you. And since Representative Stevenson is not on the committee, I will move that House File 100 be recommended to be referred to the Workforce Development Committee. We also have amendments. We'll first move to amendments, and then we can have testimony for testifiers after we've done the discussion of the amendments. So the first amendment we have is A33. Who is offering this amendment? Representative Burkle to the A33 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move the A33 amendment and would ask for a roll call vote.
Okay. Being roll call being requested to the A33.
So, Madam Chair and members, the A33 amendment would lower the amount of adult-use cannabis flower from a possession limit of 5 pounds down to 1 pound in an individual's private residence under Section 9 of the bill, page 25, line 27. And it also changed the personal residence language in Section 16 on page 159. Members, 5 pounds of marijuana is a lot of weed. And House File 100 allows a person to carry 2 ounces of weed outside their home in public. And I get the logic in that. But it's a small and it's not an insignificant amount. But 5 pounds in your home, doing the math on that, there's 28 plus grams in an ounce, 16 ounces in a pound, so roughly 454 grams in a pound. This equals about 2,270 grams in 5 pounds of weed. So we're looking at roughly 6,810 joints from 5 pounds of weed. So the obvious question is, to me, would be how much personal use smoking does that involve? And with 5 pounds of weed in your home, you'd have to smoke roughly 19 joints a day in a year to run out, assuming you don't buy any on the outside. So the aim of the amendment would be to lower that from 5 to 1. One might say, you know, is 19 joints a day for personal use realistic? And I would say no, and that the real purpose of the 5 pounds is so that people can sell it out of their homes, thus completely unraveling this legalized market with farmers who jump through all the hoops in a complex regulatory structure and invest heavily to enter this marketplace. So that's my amendment, and I'd urge you to vote yes.
Discussion to the 833. Representative Stevenson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Burkle, I'm going to ask members to vote no today on this amendment. I will tell you that I think that this is a number that's under discussion and perhaps unlikely to stay at 5 pounds at the end of the day. But I will note for the record, and I appreciate Representative Burkle's math, because it makes it easy for me to say what I'm about to say, which is that there's nothing in law that would prevent me from having over 6,000 bottles of Greenbelt Premium in my basement or having 6,000 cigarettes or anything like that. We don't limit that. If I want to have enough alcohol on hand to have 19 cans of beer in a day, that's totally lawful. Totally lawful in Minnesota. And we're talking about legalizing cannabis. So on one hand, you'd say, why have a limit at all? And actually, I thought Representative Burkle was spot on in describing why a limit isn't actually important, which is that at some point, if you don't have a limit, you are making it easier for people to participate in the illicit market to the disadvantage of people who are participating in the legitimate market and following the rules. And we don't want that. So I do favor a limit. Is 5 pounds the right limit? I think there's some question. I think there's some discussion about that. It's not an arbitrary number. It certainly isn't, as Representative Burkle suggested, that we're trying to create a back door for people to walk through. Quite the opposite. The number is derived instead from the home grow provisions in the bill. So the bill allows someone to have 8 plants at home, of which 4 are mature. If you were a very, very good, if you were not me, if I try to grow anything, it dies. There's a reason why you've never seen me in the agricultural committee before. But if you were someone who actually was good at growing things, you might be able to obtain 5 pounds of cannabis off of the amount of plants that we are authorizing. And that's where that number comes from. I think it's worth further consideration. So I'm asking for a no vote today because I'd like that conversation to continue. I would even, you know, suggest that Representative Burkle might withdraw the amendment and we can talk about it further, but I understand if he wants to vote today, I would ask for a no vote.
Representative Tappy.
Thank you, Chair Vang. I apologize I was late getting here. I was talking to a constituent in the hallway, but are there certain articles in the bill that we are focusing on today that are ag-related pieces of this, or are we just talking about the entire bill?
Representative Tapke, so there are, members have been sent sections that are relevant to the Ag Committee. And I believe this amendment that Representative Burkle brought might be out of jurisdiction.
Okay, that was my question, is if this falls into our purview of the day or if this is outside of that.
The amendment?
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct. I believe, and perhaps Staff Johnson can confirm that.
Madam Chair.
Representative Burkle.
I'd argue that this amendment is very germane to the topic. What we're talking about here is licensing farmers, and I appreciate what Representative Stevenson brought up. I probably couldn't grow any either, for that matter, but the professionals can. And the point is they've got to go through, you know, put in security. If you look at the bill and what farmers are required to do, and that's why we're in this committee hearing, by the way, this is an ag committee, they're going to be putting in security, fencing, lighting. They're going to build buildings probably to do this in Minnesota. The concept here is they're going to invest heavily and folks who can grow this in their basement for personal use are going to have a lot of pot to sell. So it's very germane to the bill, and I think I do want to see a vote on this amendment.
All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Matthew Seltzer, please proceed.
Chair Vang?
No.
Vang, no. Vice Chair Purcell?
No.
Purcell, no. Representative Vanerson?
Well, Anderson, aye.
Aye. Representative Cha?
No.
Representative Cha, no. Representative Frederick?
No.
Frederick, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Ream is excused. Representative Spencer Mura?
No. Spencer Mura, no.
Spencer Mura, sorry. Spencer Mura, no. Representative Tapke?
No.
Tapke, no. Representative Burkle?
Aye.
Burkle, yes. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Jacob?
Aye.
Jacob, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye.
There being 6 no's and 5 ayes, the A33 amendment is not adopted. Next we have is the A34 amendment. Who's offering the next amendment? Representative Nelson to the A34 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Stevenson. This amendment would be including the energy uses in greenhouse gases and part of the kind of the business plan of how they're going to be. What is supposed to be in the cultivate and operating plan. I think it's Minnesota. You know, our growing season is rather short. Generally from May until sometime in September, usually get a killing frost, and I think a large percentage of the cannabis that will be cultivated in Minnesota will be grown indoors, and that does change. The energy usage, all of a sudden you've got artificial lighting and maybe heating and maybe growing year-round. And I think just anybody with a good business plan is going to be accounting energy use into their plan of how much they're going to be using, what it's going to cost. And then, likewise, greenhouse gases, taking that into consideration. And on my farm, when I'm budgeting in for the year, I have a plan of how much electricity or diesel fuel I'll be using, and I have to allocate that out to everything. And I think this is just another good part of a solid plan. So I would ask for a roll call and encourage a yes vote on it.
A roll call being requested. Discussion to the A34. Representative Stevenson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Nelson, you know, I agree that energy use is really important here and that there should be plans and rules, and that's why that's already in the bill. If you take a look at section 8 of the bill, starting on line 24.28 of the most current engrossment, there's establishment of environmental standards, including water standards, energy use, solid waste, odor, and it allows for rulemaking as well. So I don't believe the amendment's necessary, and accordingly, I'd ask for a no vote.
All right. Further discussion? All right. Matthew Salser, please proceed.
Chair Vang?
No.
Vang, no. Vice Chair Purcell?
No.
Purcell, no. Anderson?
Anderson, aye.
Anderson, aye. Representative Cha?
Cha, no.
Cha, no. Representative Frederick?
No.
Frederick, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Green is excused. Representatives Centromura?
No.
Centromura, no. Representative Tabke?
No.
Tabke, no. Representative Burkle?
Burkle, aye.
Burkle, aye. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Jacob?
Aye.
Jacob, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye.
There being six no's and five ayes, the amendment 834 is not adopted. The next amendment we have is the A35. Who will be offering? Representative Anderson to the A35 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this one plays right into our committee here, Section 7, Agricultural and Food Safety Practices Rulemaking. And to me, it's just adding a little bit of comfort language because the Department of Agriculture currently regulates and inspects and such a lot of our food practices and especially agricultural practices. And the bill uses the word consultation. And to me, it would be a better use of the word to submit that to consultation and change that for approval from Department of Agriculture. So that's what this amendment does in a couple of places, Madam Chair. It simply changes consultation to with approval from the Department of Agriculture in some of these things that grow new cannabis plants, seed growth, clone cutting, tissue culture. And again, that's in the bailiwick of the Department of Agriculture. And I would move to have this amendment come to a roll call vote of the committee, Madam Chair.
A roll call being requested. Discussion to the A35. Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Anderson. As you kind of noted, the amendment changes basically language that already requires consultation with the Department of Agriculture to approval from the Department of Agriculture. I think that consultation is sufficient. I would ask for a no vote on the amendment.
Further discussion? Representative Anderson.
Well, again, thank you, Madam Chair. And those two words actually mean two different things. And you consult with somebody, you take their advice, and don't necessarily agree to what they would submit as an approval. So again, I just feel that the language is a little bit of comfort language in terms of what you're asking to be done in this section here. So again, I would encourage a yes vote.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, roll call, please, Mr. Salser. Matthew Salser.
Chair Vang?
No.
Vice Chair Purcell?
No.
Representative Anderson?
Anderson, aye.
Anderson, aye. Representative Cha?
Cha, no.
Cha, no. Representative Frederick?
No.
Frederick, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Hansen, no. Representative Green is excused. Representative Centurnura?
No.
Centurnura, no. Representative Tabke?
No.
Tabke, no. Representative Burkle?
Burkle, aye.
Burkle, aye. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Harder, aye. Representative Jacob?
Aye.
Jacob, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye.
Yes. Seeing seven no's and five ayes, the 835 amendment is not adopted. The next amendment is 836. Who is moving the 836 amendment?
That would be me again.
Representative Anderson.
To the amendment, it just simply adds a sentence at page 116, line after line 25, that when these grants and such are awarded, it just asks to add one of the employees of the office that do this be experienced in agricultural business development. Simple amendment. I would ask for a yes vote, Madam Chair.
All right. Discussion to the 836. Representative Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, I think this is a great idea. I'd ask for a yes vote.
Okay. All right. Seeing no further discussion. Did you request a roll call?
No, I did not.
Okay. All those in favor of the 836 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Noes, say nay. The 836 amendment is adopted. All right. I believe that is the last amendment. Now we will have time for testimony for testifiers. And welcome to the committee. The first testifier that we have is Tom Cotter from Superior Cannabis Company. And a reminder to each testifier that with limited time, you have 2 minutes for your testimony. Mr. Cotter, please proceed to the table and identify yourself before the committee. Thank you.
Yes, good day. My name is Tom Cotter, and I'm from Austin, Minnesota. I'm started out as a conventional farmer, average size 1,500 acres, just like everyone else. And then over the years, we kind of discovered what was really going on, so we started changing practices. Now, today I'm third organic, two-thirds conventional, which I call conventional, or truly it's regenerative. And that's what brought me into the hemp market, because now that I grow hundreds of different plants instead of just a corn soybean, I was able to jump into the hemp with some few partners. And over the years, we've had our struggles, just like every company out there. It doesn't matter if it's banking, insurance, landlords. You know, the getting into the hemp industry was not easy. And now, today, we're talking about jumping over to the marijuana side. And, you know, for our company, we have a lot of things already in play in the low-dose hemp. After some few struggles, just like every other company, we are finally starting to make some grounds. And, you know, three partners always started. We were shut down for gray areas in the edibles. And unfortunately, we lost one of those passionate partners. And I think it's a true shame that we lost that. But due to the gray areas and trying to rush stuff through, he left the company. And today, if we were to rush this through without doing your due diligence of setting it up correctly and right for Minnesota people first, our communities, our farmers who, you know, I spoke many times on regenerative agriculture, and you'll never beat it. And I really advise you to start growing something. Doesn't matter if it's a flower, a plant, whatever it is. People need to learn how to grow things, and the hemp is one of the most incredible plants in the world. You can go back to Chernobyl, where that changed how it looks. You know, kick people out and put plants in. And I truly hope that in these new laws, we think about the outdoor grow as much as we do the indoor grow, because you will never
beat nature. Mr. Cotter, if you could finish your thought, and then we can proceed to the next testimony.
Yep. I want to thank you for your time, but I really feel that the hemp and marijuana together is really going to hurt a lot of companies, and ours included, which would be a shame because we have a lot of great things in play and in process for the near future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cotter. Next, we have Stu Laurie from Minnesota Farmers Union. Please identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Vang and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Stu Laurie. I'm the Government Relations Director for Minnesota Farmers Union. We're a grassroots general farm organization, and At some of our county conventions this year, for the first time, we had folks put forward resolutions in support of a legal market for cannabis. Those got brought to our state convention. There was a healthy debate, and in a narrowly divided vote, our members voted to support a legal market for cannabis. So that is in our policy at Minnesota Farmers Union. That said, passing this bill this year is probably not Stu's mandate at the Capitol, given those strong voices on both sides. But what our members did speak very strongly on and are unified on is three main points. Those are, we support the limits on vertical integration. We're glad to see that addressed in Subdivision 16 and would urge caution with regard to the exemption in that first year. Vertical integration across our agricultural economy serves to crowd out new market entries and make it harder for producers to earn a fair margin on what they produce. So thanks for prioritizing that, Representative Stevenson. Second, our members passed policy in support of limits on licenses for multi-state operators. Well, I don't see that explicitly addressed in the bill. It's a long bill. Representative Stevenson could correct me if I'm incorrect there, but I believe the criteria laid out in the next subdivision for allocating licenses would prioritize smaller operations and limit large companies already operating in other states from expanding in Minnesota, importing products, and crowding out new startups. Our members support leveraging this opportunity to create a genuinely new market from seed to end sale and believe that would keep more wealth in their communities. We also appreciate the prioritization of cooperatives in that section. Finally, from our policy for any legal market, our members support clear, fair regulations for growers with strong input and led from the Department of Agriculture. We appreciate those calls out to the Department of Agriculture there. So, again, we support legalization as a matter of policy. That was a narrow vote. It's not my mandate, but we do feel really strongly about these three pieces for any legal market for cannabis. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Lori. Next we have is Ted Galati from Willows Keep Farm, Hepmays, Minnesota. Thank you for being here today. If you can identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Yes, thank you, committee chair, and thank you, committee. My name is Ted Galati. I'm the owner-operator of Willows Keep Farm. We also have Hemp Maze, Minnesota. We also have Canadisc Golf Course, so you get to play disc golf through a cannabis field, and you get to walk through a hemp maze. And we've been doing this since 2018. We inform the public and educate the public about cannabis. I was a educator before I retired and became a full-time farmer. And then I also run a performing arts theater, but I did work for the U of M as an educator. Now I educate about cannabis. Cannabis is a health issue. It's nonpartisan. You have 70% of your constituents that want to see this bill through. It's going to go through probably anyway, regardless of trying to stop it, fear-mongering, any of that. I want to get to the point of the ag issues, one of the issues being that I'm an industrial hemp farmer, right? 151.72 was all we really had on the books. Then that was amended last year to allow these low-potency THC products. But before that, we could even sell low-potency THC products. I don't know how many of you knew that, but you could, because full-spectrum products have 0.3% THC, and we were selling those from the get-go. And if it's by dry weight, it can be higher than 5 milligrams per serving. However, there's some things in this bill that will put stress on us, like Tom said. As farmers, it throws me into the cannabis realm. 280E, does anyone know tax code 280E? It sucks. You can only write off cost of goods. That's a federal, I know, bill or federal rule. But it makes it difficult for us if a hemp farmer is thrown into the cannabis realm and all of a sudden I can't write off my salaries, I can't write off anything other than my cost of goods, I can't write off inputs into the fields, my machinery, my mortgage, my insurance. So that's an issue. The other issue with that is banking. Midwest Bank, that's who I bank with now. I was with Think Bank for 10 years. And in 2018, I started growing. They knew I grew, but it took them about a year to get onto it. 2019, they said, hey, you need to close your bank accounts.
Mr. Galati, okay. If you can finish your thought and then we can proceed.
Yes, so those are the issues at hand. The other thing real quick is the synthetic artificial cannabinoid. All these low potency THC items that are on the table, even the Delta 9 ones that we are selling now, they are converted from CBD, which is cannabidiol. So they are converted. I don't know if that's synthetic or if that's artificial, but that is a concern of mine because the plant only grows 0.3% THC. It's going to take a lot of plants to extract that THC out for use in our low-potency products. So it's just things that you need to think about as legislators, discuss, and educate yourself more and inform yourself more. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Galati. Thank you for being here. Next we have is Ava Dross, who's co-owner of Nothing But Hemp. Please make your way to the table and identify yourself before the committee. Thank you.
Madam Chair and committee members, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Eva Droz and I am with Nothing But Hemp. We have retail locations across Minnesota since 2018, educating people about different legal cannabinoids. Since July 1st, we have grown from 10 employees to over 40 with healthcare, dental, 401k, and a livable wage. We won top 100 healthcare leaders awarded by IFA, the International Forum on Advancements in Healthcare, and have always had education, safety, and quality at the forefront of what we do and how we operate. The July 1st edible bill was a blessing for us after going through the hardship of COVID. This could all go away because of the current language in HF 100. We support legalization, but not some of the language in the bill. Hemp and marijuana can coexist. Here's how. The current adult use cannabis bill repeals the current low-dose THC edible law on July 1st, 2024. This is found on page 218.2. This would force us to become a marijuana dispensary with no guarantee for a license for current retailers. Also, if we got a license, our business would be subject to 280E IRS tax code that does not allow a federally illegal business to write off normal business expenses. This would kill small business. It states on page 9.11 and 79.6 that low-dose retailers must sell low-dose THC beverages only, not edibles. Low-dose THC gummies and edibles cannot be sold anywhere besides a dispensary. This would literally crush my business and we would have to close because edibles are 80% of our sales. Other retailers that are not just hemp-derived businesses would also have a significant loss. Consumers would be forced to walk into a store with a heavy security that are cash only. Not every consumer wants this experience. On page 21.12 and 79.14, it states retailers must have a statewide monitoring system. Why would federally legal hemp products be monitored in the same fashion as marijuana? Chain of custody is a better option.
If you could finish your thought and then we can proceed.
Yes, this is what is recommended in many other states. Thank you for your time, Madam Chair and committee members.
Thank you for being here. Next we have is Dr. Clemson Dabney, Minnesota First, PhD in cannabis genetics from the U of M. If you could identify yourself before the committee. And proceed.
I'm Dr. Clement Dabney. I got a PhD in cannabis genetics and genomics at the University of Minnesota. I'm testifying today to advocate that the committee propose amendments to HF 100 that result in the creation of grants that create and funds a University of Minnesota extension position focused on cannabis, as well as create grants that fund research focusing on the genetics and agronomics of cannabis funded by the allocation of a small fraction of the tax revenue generated from the sale of cannabis products. Cannabis research in Minnesota would require the creation of a cannabis research license type, which allows for larger plant canopy square footage, but requires the licensee to send cannabis material not used in research to be sent to a third party for destruction. The University of Minnesota, Minnesota's College of Biological Sciences, Professor Dr. George Weibland, has maintained a DEA license for nearly two decades. The University of Minnesota engages in cannabis, molecular genetics, and genomics research, and regulations are in place requiring the University of Minnesota to send excess cannabis plant biomass to a third party for incineration. These regulatory policies could be easily adapted and implemented to regulate licensed cannabis researchers to ensure cannabis biomass not used in research are not diverted to the illicit marketplace, but are documented, tracked, and sent to a third party for destruction. These proposed changes to HF 100 would result in increased innovation in genetics and best agronomic practices associated with higher yields, thus improving growing practices, making cannabis production more sustainable, which will decrease environmental impact on the Minnesota cannabis industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Dabney. Next we have is Angela Dawson from the 40-acre Co-op and the Great Rise. Please make your way to the table and identify yourself before the committee. Thank you.
Good Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Committee. Thank you for having me here today. My name is Angela Dawson. I am the co-founder and president of the 40 Acre Cooperative and the Great Rise. I'm also a fourth generation reclamation farmer here in the Midwest, and I've founded 40 Acre Cooperative to help farmers who have been underrepresented and been shut out of traditional agricultural programs. And we create incubators, training, business plan support, as well as grant assistance. With the Great Rise, we are the region's only cannabis equity advocacy organization in the state, and we advocate for people who have been most harmed by the prohibition of cannabis to also be able to benefit from the legalization of cannabis. I'm here because I want to raise my voice for also rural farmers. I live in Pine County, where job opportunities are not that plentiful if you're not in the healthcare industry. We have within the state a bevy of talented organic and regenerative farmers who do not have options for crops to grow. And we believe that cannabis is a wonderful solution for this issue, and we believe that especially there should be an exemption for research. I specifically created my own strain of Minnesota-tolerant hemp that meets federal and state guidelines, and we need more opportunities to educate and train farmers in order to be able to compete in this industry. Thank you for your time, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you, Angela Dawson, for making the commute to be here today. Next, we have Stephen Brown, Executive Director, Minnesota Hemp Association. Stephen Brown, please identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Yes. Madam Chair and committee members, thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Stephen Brown. I'm a BIPOC business owner and a veteran. I'm also the president of the Minnesota Cannabis Association. We're the oldest cannabis association in Minnesota. Many of our advocates are retailers, edible manufacturers, and breweries. Last week, we conducted a poll on how many jobs are created from the July 1st edible bill, and we found that over 500 jobs were created. The edible bill provided jobs, innovation, and provided a model other states are looking at for hemp cannabis policy. Unfortunately, all this good work is at risk. Many breweries, retailers, bars, grocery stores, and gas stations, and edible manufacturers are flourishing because of this law. The current language in HF 100 hurts this emerging market by repealing the current low-dose edible bill on July 1st, 2024. It also changes the definition of hemp and marijuana. The difference between the two is purely a legal distinction. Hemp contains 0.3% of Delta-9 THC or less, and marijuana contains more than 0.3% of Delta-9 THC. Hemp is federally legal, and marijuana is not. The definition in this bill changes the term of hemp, which may affect the ability for hemp-based businesses having banking, credit card processing, and insurance. It's important we keep the definition the same as the 2018 Farm Bill. The bill only allows for four cannabinoids to be produced and sold. This may hurt hemp farmers and would limit the marketplace and hurt consumers and businesses. The current language of HF 100 also hurts breweries and edible manufacturers by forcing edible manufacturers and breweries to produce products in separate facilities. This would outcost 98% of the current manufacturers. Breweries will not be able to sell on-premise. This will really, really hurt them as they're just getting into the black now.
Mr. Brown, please, if you could finish your thought and then we can proceed.
Absolutely. Please note, we're for marijuana legalization, but we're not for the current language of HF 100 that hurts hemp-derived businesses. Hemp and marijuana can coexist together. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for allowing me to speak to you.
Thank you, Stephen Brown. Next we have is Matt Squant, president and co-founder of the Bauhaus Brew Labs. Please make your way to the table, identify yourself before the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members, Representative Stevenson. I appreciate your time today. My name is Matt Squant. I'm the president and co-founder of Bauhaus Brew Labs, a craft brewery and tap room located in Northeast Minneapolis. And for just under a decade, I've had the privilege of being a part of Minnesota's flourishing craft beer scene. Thanks to the help of the legislature, we have an amazing craft beer scene in Minnesota, and we were thrilled last July when the legislature legalized small amounts of hemp-derived THC products. And we jumped right on it. We got to work, and we produced a THC seltzer that's proven very popular. And to be honest, it's one of the reasons why we still exist today as a brewery, because nationally, for the last couple of years, beer has been on the decline. So this has been a rare bright spot in an industry like ours. I am fully in favor of legal adult use recreational marijuana for a multitude of reasons, but there are some very problematic aspects of HF 100, many of which have been covered by previous testimony today. Probably the biggest issue is IRS Rule 280E. We don't want to be a marijuana business. We want to be a low-dose hemp-derived THC business. That's working for us. To be forced to not be able to deduct ordinary business expenses is a non-starter for us. We would choose to simply exit the market. And I suspect that the vast majority of other breweries in our position would do the exact same thing. What this is going to do is fill our retail shelves with heavily moneyed outside interests from other states. Additionally, distributors and retailers of these products, particularly liquor stores, who are very keen to have these products on their shelves, they're not going to opt to do that if they're forced to not be able to deduct ordinary business expenses. Second, the exclusive equipment requirement. This is another non-starter for breweries like mine. We don't have the money to invest in additional tanks, a separate canning line, which incidentally starts around $250,000, and a separate facility. Also, we've been successfully and safely producing our beverages on our existing brewery equipment for the last half a year. We're licensed by the Department of Agriculture, and all of our equipment and our sanitation and cleaning practices adhere to the Minnesota Food Code. In fact, the Department of Agriculture just inspected us a few days ago, and I'm happy to say that we passed with flying colors.
Mr. Smond, if you can finish your thought and we can proceed.
Thank you. Just real quick, final point is that we do not think a three-tier system is the right move for Minnesota and cannabis. We favor a well-regulated but open, free, and fair market, especially for low-dose THC, and I thank the committee for their time today.
Thank you, Mr. Smond. Next we have is Jim Erickson from Minnesota Hemp Growers Cooperative. Please make your way to the table and identify yourself before the committee. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jim Erickson. Some of you know me as a contract lobbyist. This is my 51st legislative session doing so, and I'm pleased to be here. But I'm here as a volunteer today representing the Minnesota Hemp Growers Co-op, a new cooperative formed a couple years ago by the identification that there was a need for a cooperative to support the agricultural aspects of this industry. I'm here to say thank you, first of all, to you, Chairman Vang. You got me involved in this. You might know that. Several years ago, you called and asked me to help you with Among Hemp Farmers, and that got me interested in hemp. And then after the 218 Farm Bill, I thought, well, why don't I do that? I've learned a little bit about it. I grew 3 acres, and quickly those of us who were small and big farmers in 2019 and 20 quickly learned that the gold rush disappeared, and it was a difficult time. And now we're going to, I think, rebuilding this industry and the great opportunity that hemp has to bring to Minnesota, agriculture and businesses and consumers. I want to thank Representative Stevenson. I want to thank everybody that's worked so hard on this bill. I'm going to just take the high road and say we're supporting this. A couple things I want to talk about just on the general, but the specifics that you have dealt with today and are dealing with, we are represented, we in the Minnesota Is Ready Coalition, chaired by Ryan Winkler, and the cooperative, chaired by myself, have retained Will Blauvelt, and he will be telling you what the specifics are. I trust this process that you're going to go through in these many hearings. I know that the lobbyists that are here wish they'd signed a contract to get paid by the hearing. They made that mistake. So I just want to say thank you to you. Thank you to everybody that's working at this. It'll all be worked out. It'll be better for Minnesota farmers, for Minnesota consumers, for Minnesota businesses. And I'd like to say, in general, I hope you can do everything you can within the United States Constitution and the Commerce Clause to protect and enhance the opportunity to make money for Minnesota businesses and Minnesota farmers. With that, I want to also thank them, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, who has been very good in this early stage. I'm a licensed under the Minnesota hemp program. They've done a great job in dealing with it over the time. Last year, a number of people, including Commissioner Peterson, appeared at our booth at the Minnesota State Fair. We had a great success in educating the public. We want to do that again this year. And thank you all for what you're doing. Good luck with the process. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Jim Erickson. It's good to see you again. Next we have is Andrew John Meyer. Please proceed to the table and identify yourself before the committee.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairwoman and committee members. My name is Andrew John Meyer. I run a farm in Goodhue County, House District 20B. And we have been there in Zumbrota raising livestock on 95 acres for about 10 years now. Unlike a lot of farmers, I sell the produce of my farm through direct marketing and do as much value adding as I can. And I'm here today to speak to the importance of this bill and its licensing structure in particular, particularly those provisions which allow small growers to add value to their crop and to directly market it to consumers. It seems that the authors of this bill have taken important lessons from the problems of earlier states in their legalization regimes, and this bill looks to have put the interests of small growers at the fore. I support the prioritization of micro and craft cultivators and giving them the flexibility they need in processing and sales. So thank you for your time, your consideration, and your support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, John Meyer. Next we have is John Hanselman, owner of Edwin Edibles. Please make your way to the table and identify yourself before the committee.
Hi, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is John Hanselman, and I own Edwin's Edibles. We are one of the largest gummy manufacturers in the state of Minnesota. In 2019, I started Edwin's in Hudson, Wisconsin, making CBD gummies because we were prohibited from making those gummies here in Minnesota. Thanks to the hard work in 2022, we were able to come home to Minnesota in July. Along with a larger facility, I was able to increase my employee count to over 6. Our hemp-derived products are shipped to over 25 states currently. Later this year, we'll be moving into an even larger facility because last year we produced over 2.7 million gummies because of the legislation that was enacted last year. So we're going to be a new facility and then also a beverage operation, and then to run all that, a lot more employees. While we are in favor of the recreational adult-use marijuana, the current bill has potential to harm the hemp-derived marketplace. I have invested thousands of dollars into equipment. I would have to spend thousands more potentially on duplicate equipment to produce hemp-derived products separate from marijuana products. This is in reference to 52.16 and 52.21. The math really doesn't work. I could also face not being able to produce hemp-derived products altogether. This would be a big financial hit to our online and wholesale businesses. If we can't produce hemp-derived gummies in the state of Minnesota, customers will find those products out of our state, and they'll simply have them shipped in. The hemp-derived marketplace can coexist with marijuana marketplace, and we look forward to participating in both. So thank you again for your time.
Thank you, John Hanselman. Next we have is Glenn McElfresh, co-founder of Plift. Please make your way to the table and identify yourself before the committee.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Glenn McElfresh, and thank you all for allowing me to speak today. My name is Glenn McElfresh, and I'm the co-founder of Plift. an emerging hemp-infused beverage brand. We had our first production run at a St. Paul-based brewery this week. My business partner and I knew Minnesota would be the home for our business and our families after we read last July's bill. My business partner Todd went to Totino Grace, and my wife and I were looking at houses to buy until we read the first engrossment of HF 100. Now we are renting Airbnbs because of the regulatory uncertainty created by HF 100. HF 100 does not welcome hemp-based businesses like mine to Minnesota. The opportunity to broadly distribute federally legal hemp beverages and offer a compelling alternative to alcohol has been a dream of mine since I became a butt tender in Colorado 10 years ago. More recently, I was chief compliance officer at a multi-state cannabis company with licenses in medical and adult use markets and revenues totaling $80 million a year. I have firsthand experience with the expensive, inequitable, and often contradictory regulatory environment governing the legal marijuana industry. We've heard other testifiers speak about 280E, and in its simplest form, 280E prevents marijuana businesses from deducting normal business expenses. Very few businesses can operate with an effective tax rate that often approaches 70%. In 2020, my uncle and I applied for a craft grower license in Illinois, and we did not earn 20 points because my uncle was not a veteran. Those 20 points proved critical because veteran-led groups received all of the first 40 licenses that were issued. However, my uncle could not join the military because he is gay. Minnesota's veterans preference provision at 36.18 mirrors Illinois' language that discriminated against my uncle and other LGBTQ business owners. It breaks my heart that my uncle, a true social equity applicant from the south side of Chicago, was discriminated against because of his sexuality. The hemp industry is federally legal and should exist in harmony with marijuana legalization. I urge you to listen to the hemp industry's cries for help, preserve a welcoming regulatory environment for out-of-state businesses like me, and take all reasonable measures to avoid inadvertently discriminating against LGBTQ agribusiness owners across Minnesota. With that, I thank Madam Chair, the committee members, and Representative Stevenson for your time, and stand for any questions.
Thank you, Glenn. Next we have is Adam Wagner from Twin Cities TH. Please make your way to the table and identify yourself before the committee. Adam Wagner. Okay. Next we have Molly Kronk from MJ Habadashi.
Habadashi.
Please make your way to the table and identify yourself before the committee. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Molly, and I have a farm in Oakdale. It's called MJ Habadashi. First of all, thank you for allowing me to testify today on behalf of the cannabis plant. I'm a land steward, and I use cannabis to enhance the soil because it fits well with my business values in life. The mission statement for my company is to promote and protect the ability to grow food. So here's my story. In 2010, I was a 40-year-old mom working for Land O'Lakes in the grains purchasing department. And marijuana really wasn't in my vocabulary until I started doing some research when my dad got lymphoma. And in 2014, my dad unexpectedly passed away at his thoroughbred racehorse farm in Oakdale, Minnesota. And then 2 years later in 2016, my oldest brother was diagnosed with leukemia. And I dug a little bit deeper into that cannabis research. And I discovered and was gifted a product called Rick Simpson Oil, which is a highly concentrated form of this plant. And I would eventually quit that corporate job and follow this plant and Rick Simpson Oil across America, learning more, until 2019 when I returned to Minnesota to my family farm. And today I run MJ Habadashery in Oakdale, Minnesota. I use biodynamic practices to sequester carbon from the atmosphere and store it into the land. I rotate animals and crops across the land in a responsible way that reverses global warming. We are dedicated to land stewardship, and we consider it our duty to care for the earth, to clean the water and provide economic opportunities for future generations. And we believe that healthy soil produces the best food, and that food is medicine. We have the only regenerative farm in the area that uses animals in harmony with growing crops. We do not till the soil. We do not kill any of the animals for human consumption. We do not use any outside chemicals or purchase sprays. I do not have a greenhouse. I do not use any diesel fuel.
Thank you, Molly. If you can finish your thought and we can proceed.
Thank you. So I guess what I really want to say is regenerative farming has been referred to as the new way of farming. And because it produces a healthier product and is restoring the land from decades of using Roundup and soil depletion. I believe that the cannabis plant has the ability to heal minds and soil, and I'm blessed to be able to make a living on the land that my father and my brother died on of cancer. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity of keeping this plant alive for more than just corporate America.
Thank you. Do we have any further testifiers? Any further testimonies? Okay. Thank you to all the testifiers today, and especially for making the commute to be here at the Capitol. We appreciate your input. Now to the discussion of the bill. I'm not aware of any other amendments to House File 100. Is there any further discussion to the bill? And Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to speak. Since so many of the testifiers spoke to a couple issues, I did want to address them. The bones of House File 100 is House File 600 from last biennium, which of course predated the hemp low-dose edibles bill that passed last year. And so we've been working on this issue throughout. We do think, and I do think, that we should have one comprehensive system of regulation that addresses all of these things, and we're working to get there. I definitely do want business owners to know that that's still something we are working on, that we're not trying to shut down very successful businesses, and that some of the challenges that are caused by creating a comprehensive system are still being worked on. So an important example that we heard a lot about is the separate equipment issue, which is a particular concern for the breweries that are doing the THC-infused beverages that have really exploded in popularity after the passage of the low-dose bill last year. I just will tell you that I think that this is a phenomenal opportunity for Minnesota to allow that business, that industry to continue to grow and thrive, and I don't want to miss that opportunity. So we're working on language. We will continue to work on language, and we'll get there. Same thing with the 280E. We're working on language on that as well. We'll continue to work on it. I think it's really important. It needs to all be balanced against other goals in the bill, and I think you heard some great testimony today from several people about either directly or indirectly referencing, for example, the vertical integration issue and how that can protect small businesses and allow for small businesses to enter the marketplace. And that's an important goal of this bill. And so we have to think about how we do that carefully to not compromise other goals of the bill while allowing for these, fairly, I don't want to say unique, but like what's happening in Minnesota is kind of special around some of these THC-infused beverages and some of these other issues, and we don't want to mess that up. So we're having those discussions, we're working on it, and I just want the testifiers to know that I agree with a lot of what was said, and we're working on it.
Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I have a question. I'm hoping someone from the Department of Ag is here. It's kind of a full room. Is Commissioner Peterson or anyone here from the Department of Ag?
I see Deputy Commissioner Andrew Vauble. Thank you for being here. Please identify yourself before the committee.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Andrea Vauble. I serve as Deputy Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture.
Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Commissioner Vauble. I just have a quick question related to the genetic engineering seed. And I know under 18F in the statute, I think the purpose is, and we won't get into the weeds on that, no pun intended. But I'm curious, when you look at the bill on page 51 and on 23 in section 7, There's language in there on genetic engineering of seed, and it looks like there's an exemption, or that the Department of Ag won't have control of that part of the process. So it looks to me like they're circumventing the MDA's, the commissioner's authority on seed. Could you kind of describe that and get, like, you see what you think of that?
Commissioner Vaubel?
Madam Chair, Representative Burkle. We are aware of the provision you're referencing. We're certainly looking at it, and we are having, you know, conversations with the author, and happy to continue those conversations. But certainly, we're aware of it and looking at it actively right now.
Representative Burkle.
I just want to thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick primer on the purpose of that statute. The purpose of that is to establish permits for the release of certain genetically engineered agriculturally related organisms to protect humans and the environment from the potential for significant adverse effects of those releases. And I'd like to just recommend to Representative Stevenson that you look at that section a little closer. I think the genetic engineering part and having the Department of Ag's oversight on that is important. And maybe you want to comment on that, Representative Stevenson.
Representative Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative Burkle, thanks for raising the issue. Happy to work with you on it and talk further about it.
All right.
Thank you. Nothing more.
All right. Representative Sensenmira.
Yeah, thank you. And I know that this is not the only step for this bill. So, but I do feel like one thing that was kind of just there, we heard a lot of concerns about the bill and kind of who businesses that were going to be hurt from the bill. And I just wanted to kind of uplift what I know is in the bill around the social equity piece about really, you know, making sure that we are taking this market, regulating it, and really trying to give preference to people that have been most disenfranchised by our previous policies. I did, you know, think, and I'm sorry that I can't remember the testifier's name, but just kind of when we look at the different social equity kind of pieces and what qualifies an applicant to fit within that, I'm looking at page 35 of the bill. You know, I think there's something to the kind of thinking about what it means to have a provision that specifically highlights and supports veterans in that, you know, specific case where we know that there's a history of gay or queer, you know, people being left out of that. Is that something that has come up? I know that this is obviously not the only statute we have that prioritizes veterans, but I guess just any kind of response about how we might think of through that.
Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That is the first time I've heard that specific story. I agree with you, it was a compelling story. I will note that the point system that we're having reference to here, a couple thoughts. One is that, you know, being a social equity applicant, for example, is also something that can accrue points. There's not a specific amount of points, you know, to the example of Illinois, per category in the bill. And our goal, as you mentioned, is to make sure that this is a market that's accessible to people who were harmed under the old prohibition regime, and to encourage small and local over big and national. So I think there's flexibility in there, and I think that hopefully we can account for that. I will say that I think that, you know, we do obviously value our veterans in Minnesota and value veteran-owned businesses, and you're right that there's other provisions in law that also have this same provision in it. So I would be reluctant to remove such a provision, but I think we do need to be sensitive to the whole picture here. I think the bill kind of does that by not being very prescriptive in the way that it seemed that the Illinois example was.
Thank you. All right. Representative Hansen.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Stevenson, we had talked about the pesticide and fertilizer provisions, and I believe there's someone from the department here. I just want to get on the record that 18B and 18D apply in those requirements. So maybe if there's someone from the department who could just get on the record for that.
I do see someone. Please identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Madam Chair and members, my name is Roger McAdams. I'm the Assistant Director of the Pesticide and Fertilizer Management Division at the Department of Agriculture. Representative Hansen is correct. This is a unique industry, right? But it's coming into agriculture, which has been out there for a long time. So there's lots of things you've mentioned here today that the office, as it's set up, will need to work with the Department of Ag. I think we're looking at the entire bill. As Representative Hansen says, it does say they have to comply with the pesticide fertilizer regulations, 18 B, C, and D. There may be some wordage that needs to get worked on the bill yet about if it's approval of, in conjunction with, or whatever. So we're aware of that. We're being involved. We're involved with the discussion. So, but it is in the bill. Definitely, it would definitely have to apply. So.
Representative Hansen? All right. Representative Jacob.
Thank you, Chair Vang. So, Representative Nelson here had offered an amendment that, you know, kind of incorporated energy use and emissions into the bill. But I've read a number of articles, and here's a headline from one of them: growing an ounce of pot indoors can create or can emit as much carbon as burning a full tank of gas. So my question then is there any provisions or methods planned to offset the carbon that this industry will produce?
Representative Stevenson?
Madam Chair and Representative Jacob, if you'd give me a little liberty here just to say to Representative Burkle, as I was looking through the bill and listening to the last author, there's a section that begins on 51.16 of the third engrossment, section 22, subdivision 7, and I wonder if that addresses the concern that you raised. To Representative Jacob's question, as I mentioned when Representative Nelson asked his question offered his amendment, there is a provision in the bill requiring the establishment of environmental standards, including those related to energy, and getting directly to that point. Focusing on energy use and the climate is a paramount concern of mine, and so it's important that language is in the bill.
Representative Jacob?
Does it make the business carbon neutral?
Representative Stevenson?
Madam Chair, Representative Jacob, there's not a specific requirement in the bill of carbon neutrality.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Chair. And Representative Stevenson, I was actually kind of surprised today to hear the amount of hemp farmers that really had some strong concerns with this bill. I kind of assumed they would maybe be embracing it and looking for another opportunity, but I think you'd stated it, kind of following their testimony, your willingness to work with this and, really cover their concerns. And I think, as we look at, there's different study or reports or studies or surveys that show that, majority of Minnesotans, the number kind of varies, but support adult use cannabis and legalizing it. And I know that's going to happen, but I would just encourage you that, whether what we pass is in this form or it changes, I think there's some definite concerns here that we've seen from, established growers of hemp around the state that have some very valid concerns. And I really hope that they are worked on and that you stay to your commitment to work on them, because I think it could really bring up some challenges for their business and, ultimately hurt everybody if this done poorly. I think last June, I think it was kind of a surprise to most people that edibles were legalized kind of a little bit through a backdoor or route. And, I think some knew more about it than others of it happening. And This is definitely going through every committee, much like HF 600 did, and being worked on. But I really hope that the concerns that are being raised are taken seriously. Some of them are more of a stick in the spokes than anything. But I think definitely what we heard from our growers and farmers right now have some definite concerns when it comes to banking and lending just the other legitimate parts of the farm that they have for their business. I really hope that you do take these into concern and work on it to get it right the first time. So thank you.
Response, Representative Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative Nelson, yeah, we've been working on that issue even before today's hearing, and I probably should have said that in my opening remarks. I could have probably anticipated that people would have been key to that. I'm sorry that I didn't do that to the people in the room. But yes, we have been working on it. We will continue to work on it. It is important to get it right. You're absolutely right. I will say that we did have a hearing in the House Commerce Committee, which, you know, Representative Nelson, I'd love to have you on the House Commerce Committee. It's the best committee in the House. You should come join us. We had a hearing on the low-dose edible bill last year. So it was not a surprise to those of us who were on the Commerce Committee because we had a hearing on the bill.
All right. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to ask Commissioner Vobel a question again, if she would. Is she still here?
Yes, she is.
And my question as she works her way up there, again, relates to the relation between this bill, this legislation, and the Department of Ag. And Commissioner Vobel, are there some guardrails that you need to maintain in terms of your relationship with the federal agencies, FDA, for example, seeing that the feds treat marijuana differently in a legal sense than they do from hemp? So are there reasons that you would not be comfortable or your department comfortable with taking on the approval of some of these things in relation to only being consulted with some of the policies here in the bill that directly contain to agriculture and farming and ag practices? So again, federally, are there things that you have to be aware of and things you can and can't do in relation to marijuana regulation?
Commissioner Vobel.
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, thank you so much for the question. We do have our amazing industrial hemp experts here who I might ask to come up and just reference the hemp piece specifically. I will say that we feel like with the way that the bill is written in terms of the Office of Cannabis Management and how that will be set up, there's a lot of interaction and consultation with the Department of Agriculture, which we are very pleased to see and feel very confident that there will be ample conversation between our agency and the setup of the office to make sure that we stay within the limits and laws that we have to follow with the federal government. But I will just ask my colleague, Tony Cordelette, to speak specifically to the industrial hemp piece.
Please identify yourself before the committee and proceed.
Madam Chair and members, my name is Anthony Cordelette, and I oversee the Noxious Weed and Hemp Program at the Department of Agriculture. Representative Anderson, that's a great question. We are under a federal plan to manage and license the production of hemp. I don't foresee issues with that in terms of what we would do under that program specific for hemp growers and then having to branch out into a state-sponsored, legal plan or law that we would have to govern. We'd have to keep them separate, obviously. No state law can preempt federal law now, and hemp is in federal law. So it might be a little challenging for us, but I'm sure we're up to do it. Other states are doing it right now, quite a few over 30 that have both hemp under state plans with USDA and state legal marijuana plans.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks again. Thanks for the comments. And again, comparing this, maybe it can't be compared to corn or soybeans or whatever, but again, the Department of Ag guarantees purity of seed, that type of thing. There's different varieties of corn that do different things. What about marijuana itself? Are there many different varieties? I've heard that the varieties back in my Woodstock days are not what they are like today in terms of potency and things. So how do you handle seed purity, that type of thing, or who's going to handle those types of things?
Director?
Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, another good question. It would be our seed regulatory unit and my colleague, Denise Thede. We would treat it, again, I think somebody else said there's a lot of other laws that apply to ag, and if this passes, that will, marijuana would fall under that, certainly under the Seed Act for the state of Minnesota. Obviously, federal law wouldn't apply there. But we would be able to manage that. I can't speak on marijuana varieties because we haven't seen those in the state. I can speak on cannabinoid hemp, which is very similar in terms of the newer varieties coming in compared to the old fiber and grain varieties. And we are now starting to apply more strictly the federal and Minnesota Seed Act to that so that those seeds are you know, regulated the same way corn or soybeans would be.
Final follow-up? Okay. Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to respond to Representative Stevenson's thank you for pointing that out. That's the exact section of the bill I was referring to. And my concern, and that's why I wanted Commissioner Vobel to come up and answer that question on the record, was, you know, the precedent we're setting on stripping that power away and kind of opening the door to changes in how we handle other genetically engineered seeds, such as soybeans or corn. So I just, you know, it's a slippery slope. And once we start doing that, the precedent has been set. So I hate to see the Department of Ag's authority on that stripped away. That was my only point. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Any further discussion? Closing remarks, Representative Stevenson?
I appreciate the committee's time taking up a lot of it, so I'll just say thank you, and I ask for a yes vote.
All right. I renew my motion to recommend House File 100 to be referred to the Workforce Development Committee. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say noes.
No.
No.
The ayes have it. The motion prevails. House File 100 is recommended to be re-referred to the Workforce Development Committee. Members, I know we have enough unfinished agenda item that we will do quickly back to House File 47. And if we run out of time, we can finish the other bills in the next committee hearing. But we'll start with House File 47. So we were on discussion on the A2 amendment on House File 47. I believe, do we have any further discussion? Okay. Representative Hansen, to the A2 amendment.
I would oppose the A2 amendment.
All right. I believe, was there a roll call requested on the A2? No, it's not. Okay. All those in favor of the A2 amendment say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
The A2 amendment is not adopted. Seeing no further amendments, any further discussion to House File 47?
Thank you for your support. I would renew my motion that House File 47 be referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
All right. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion prevails. House File 47 is recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Since we still have a couple more minutes, we'll just keep proceeding since these bills we've already heard in the previous committee. Next on the bills, Representative Hansen, House File 352.
Madam Chair, I would move House File 352 be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. I have the A1 amendment that was developed after discussion in the last committee. I would move the A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape I would like.
All right. A discussion to the A1. All those in favor to the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it. The A1 amendment is adopted. To the House, I don't see any further amendments. The A2? Oh, we have the A2 amendment. Who is offering the A2 amendment?
I will.
Representative Anderson, to the A2 amendment. Please explain the A2 amendment.
Well, again, Madam Chair, thank you. We're very concerned about noxious weeds in Minnesota. And this would just add the language that applicable seed law would be effective against this seed as well. So just the invasive species laws would be applicable to these seeds that Representative Hansen wants to provide funding for.
To the A2 amendment, Representative Hansen?
I would oppose the amendment. I think we have existing law, so it's redundant and not accurate.
All right, further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A2 amendment say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
The A2 amendment is not adopted. Any further discussion to the House File
352 as amended. Representative Cha?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you to the author of the bill for your A1 amendment and in consideration for the immigrant communities into that amendment. Thank you very much.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Hansen, would you like to renew your motion to recommend House File 352 to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move House File 352 as amended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee and ask for your support.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
No.
Nay. What's Representative Anderson?
We haven't voted on the bill yet, have we, Madam Chair?
Yes, we are voting on the bill. We just renewed the motion to re-refer it to the Ways and Means Committee.
Okay. I realize that that has passed, but so this is not going to be held over for inclusion in the Ag Finance Bill?
We will be, yes, that is correct. We're not going to hold it for possible inclusion, but we're going to re-refer it to the Ways and Means Committee.
So where will the funding for this bill come from?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If we are speedy and the Senate is as well, then it would be accounted for prior to the budget, prior to the accounting. We can get it in the forecast before the forecast. The funds are used.
Representative Anderson.
We'll talk offline and find out. But anyway, thank you.
All right. Thank you. The ayes have it. The motion prevails. And House File 352, as amended, is recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. The last bill that we have is House File 80, Representative Anderson. Members, we've already had discussion. We've already had testimony on this bill last week, so we'll just take the amendment and have limited discussion. To your amendment, Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, members, thank you. We've tossed this around for a while, and I admire the department for doing an excellent job, especially when they handed out the checks. Made the checks ready for the drought bill. They did an excellent job. And we just thought the appropriation up to $130,000 in the original bill for basically just getting a pass-through and writing out checks to the counties if this bill were to become law was that amount was not quite necessary. So the amendment would change the amount, Madam Chair, to 2.5% of the appropriation to be used for admin by the Department of Agriculture.
All right. Any discussion to the A1 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor to the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say nays. The A1 amendment is adopted. And this bill, House File 80, will be laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you, Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you, members. We've had a very productive meeting. Thank you for being here today. And thank you once again to all the testifiers and the public for your input. Our next meeting is Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. This meeting is adjourned.